Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Kol Hamakayem et HaTorah Me'oni. So that's Rabbi Jonathan said, he who fulfills the Torah in poverty, Sofo Lekayama Me'asher. He will, in the end, in its end, he will fulfill it in wealth. He who fulfills the Torah in poverty. So he's like, I don't have any money, you know, I shouldn't be doing the mitzvah, but, you know, because it's too expensive, but I'm going to do it anyway. Eventually, he'll be able to fulfill the Torah in wealth. All right, so that's one. But then he goes on, he goes on to say, Sofo levat la me'oni, v'kol ham vatel et haTorah me'asher, sofo levat la me'oni. Whoever neglects the Torah, mevatel, in wealth, will in the end, batla, neglect it, in poverty. So if a person's really wealthy, he says, you know, I don't have time for Torah, I have too much money to worry about doing a mitzvah, or however that might be. And money distracts us. So he says, if that's the case, then in the end, you'll neglect it in poverty as well. So it's a nice little saying, but the only reason we're here is for these words, and this is why I read it to you in Hebrew, is for the words, Mikayem, which is to fulfill, Mikayem, and Batel, Mevatel, is to abolish. You can remember Batel because you maybe heard the Hasidic concept of Bitul, which is self-abnegation, Bitul, I'm nothing. Now look who thinks he's nothing, you know that joke. Bitul, so mebatel is to abolish or to completely abnegate. And mekayem is to fulfill. It's from kum, to stand upright. Okay? So these are the two words that our master probably used if he was speaking Hebrew. If he was speaking Aramaic, there'd be some sort of cognates of these words. Let me show you another passage since it's in the not too far away. Here's another one. Here it is. If the Beit Din rendered a decision which voided an entire preceptive body, kol haguf, the whole body, saying something such as, there is no lav nida in the Torah, or there is no Shabbat in the Torah, or there is no such thing as a prohibition of an idolatry in the Torah, then they are not liable for a sin offering. The Beit Din isn't. Because that's ridiculous. Nobody's gonna buy that. It's not even like you're not even in the same room with God here. However, if they gave a decision annulling part and sustaining part, then they are liable. How so? For example, regarding the Shabbat regarding the Nida, if he cohabits with her while she maintains a day-to-day observation, regarding the Shabbat law in the Torah, if he carries from a private to a public area, idol worship, if he says idol worship is forbidding but merely bowing is not. So he's saying, you get the gist of the law. They're saying, if you say there's no such thing, there's no such law in the Torah, that's not really a ruling of us. The Sanhedrin can't really rule that, so they wouldn't be liable for the sin offering. But if they made it a mistake in a ruling, that's what Leviticus 4 is concerned about. All right, the only reason I brought you here is for these words again. It says, Horu levatel miktzat. if they taught to abolish from a part, a small part, ulkayem miktzat, or to keep, or to fulfill a small part. So, what does it mean? What does it mean to abolish and to fulfill? We're getting there.
The best thing with to teach to guard.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the Hebrew?
It's lishmor lasot ulkayem.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, excellent. Let's find some more examples, because this is, I think this is interesting. So here's from got the Midrash Rabbah here. This is the advantage of having classes in the green room. We have all these books here. Midrash Rabbah, Genesis 55. I got my paperclip. Genesis 55:8. The children of Heth, it's written 10 times in the Torah. How much ink has been spilt and how many quills have been broken writing the children of Heth? These 10 correspond to the 10 commandments, teaching that if one assists a righteous man in his purchase of a burial ground, as is happens in that story in Chayei Sarah, it's as though he fulfilled the 10 commandments. Same word, fulfilled. 10 commandments. Nekayim. Rab Judin said, the children of Barzillai is written 5 times. Children of Barzillai. Barzillai is the guy who met David when he was fleeing from Absalom across the Jordan, and he and his men were hungry and thirsty and tired, and Barzillai brought food. So it says, these 5 correspond to the 5 books of the Torah, and teach that he who gives a piece of bread to the righteous is as though he had Nikayim, as though he had fulfilled the 5 books of the Torah. All right, so we're getting closer and closer here. I got one more. There's hundreds of these. This language is used all the time. But I've got one more I want to read because it's interesting. All right, here. Blessed be the omnipresent, Hamakom, that he identified himself with the early tzaddikim, the early righteous ones. Adam offered an ox on an altar, as it said, it shall please the Lord better than a bullock that divideth the hoof. Noah fulfilled that which is written in the Torah. So there's the word, fulfilled. As it is written, Noah built an altar to the Lord. You see, what they're saying is, these guys, how did they know this? The Torah hadn't been given yet. God didn't give the laws of sacrifice yet. But somehow, they fulfilled the Torah anyway. And so, it says, Abraham fulfilled the whole Torah, as it says, because that Abraham hearkened to my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And he offered a ram as a sacrifice. Isaac fulfilled that which is written in the Torah, in that he cast himself before his father as a lamb to be sacrificed. You're supposed to be listening to these fulfilleds. Every time we use the word fulfilled, think, Mikayim. Jacob fulfilled that which is written in the Torah, as it is said, they gave unto Jacob all the foreign gods, so he took all the idols from his family and buried them. Judah fulfilled that which was written in the Torah, as it said, Judah said to Onan, go to thy brother's wife. So, the Levirate law that hadn't been given yet. Joseph fulfilled what is written in the Torah, as it is said, honor thy father, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Joseph fulfilled all these. Even though unto them the Torah had not yet been given, they fulfilled it of their own accord. For this reason, the Holy One, blessed be He, loved them with a complete love, and made their name like unto His own great name. Of them He said, happy are they who are perfect in the way. And of Himself it is said, the rock, His work is perfect. And as for God, His way is perfect. Very nice midrash. Very nice, because not only does it perfectly illustrate Mikayim, and what it means to fulfill the Torah, but it also is, I remember when I first read this, I think it was my wife first read this Midrash, and she read this to me. As like, this is a very good illustration, she said, this was years ago, you know, but she said, this is a very good illustration of what it is to, you know, to be a Gentile believer, you know, doing Torah. You know, that you say, well, why am I doing the Sabbath? Well, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they hadn't been given the commandments either, but they fulfilled, it says, all the commandments. They fulfilled all the commandments. So, anyway, what does it mean to have fulfilled? When Yeshua says, I did not come to abolish the Torah, I came to mechayim, I came to fulfill the Torah. It's to obey, to keep. Every reference we've seen so far. And there's also another aspect, not just to obey and to keep, but there's a secondary aspect in that we saw that a Sanhedrin, or teachers who incorrectly interpret a law of the Torah, are abolishing it, mavatel. But teachers who are correctly legislating on the Torah are mikayim. So it has both meanings. On the one hand, Messiah has come to keep the Torah, to be sinless, to be righteous, to be a total tzaddik, 100% righteous person. On the other hand, he came to correctly interpret the Torah. And if you think about the context of Matthew 5:17, he is about to launch into the greatest Torah sermon ever delivered. He's just after he says that. So I think you have to see both. In any case, the one thing that mikayim and fulfilled does not mean is abolish. It doesn't mean cancel or done away with. I remember the first time that I saw that, I really like came face to face with this. Do you remember when the internet was new and kind of exciting? When you first got the internet, and I went out, like the very first thing that I like typed in, you know, looking on a search engine was for messianic Jewish sites. You know, immediately wanted like message in a bottle. Is there anybody out there? Out there, you know. So sure enough, I found a chat room. Have you ever been in a chat room? Okay, so this was, and the title of the chat room was Messianic Judaism. So I went in, and you know, it was just, this is my first internet experience, and so I just think my wife and I were kind of like just curious, you know, what's going on. And I asked, you know, if there was anyone Torah observant in this chat room. And the conversation quickly spiraled from that comment. And immediately the thing started to churn, you know. But the response I got was, no, you know, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself under the law? Jesus fulfilled the law so that we don't have to. So this is like, things haven't really changed that much. I mean, that was, what, 10 years ago? I don't know. Something like that. Probably longer. But things have not changed that much in the Messianic movement in general. That is still the general consensus of Messianic Judaism. It's still certainly the consensus of Christianity. So even if we feel like we can sit in this room and we can all like agree and say, well, Jesus didn't cancel the Torah, check it out. Everybody else thinks he did. So this is not just academic. We're not just repeating things in vain.
There's another definition of mikayem is like maybe even establish or endure.
Yeah.
Fulfills, people get the, maybe it might be the wrong idea, but yeah.
I know it's establish is probably, it depends on context, yeah, of how you would use that. But a good example is the David Melech Israel song.
Yeah.
David Melech Israel, Chai Chai Vikayim. David, King of Israel, lives and endures. not lives, lives, and fulfills. But so establish is probably an even better translation than fulfill. The Torah will be in effect in the messianic future. We already saw that Ezekiel 37:25 verse. We don't need to go there. And the Isaiah 2:3 verse is simply Kimitzion, Teitzei Torah. In that day, the Torah will go out from Jerusalem, the word of the Lord from Zion, and all the nations are going to come up to the house of God, and they'll all be singing, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." And they're all going to go up to the house of God in Jerusalem, and God's and the Messiah is going to teach the Torah, and the Torah is going to go out to the nations, and it is the most beautiful prophecy of the Messianic era. Then they won't they'll beat their swords into plowshares, and they won't learn war anymore because Messiah will judge between the nations. It's a beautiful prophecy. But the point of the prophecy is that the Torah is going to be a universal law in the Messianic era. And so Asher Norman's point is, wait a second. If the Messiah is going to come and establish the Torah, then what kind of Messiah comes and abolishes the Torah? Yeah, okay. So he gives us one more. He says, and he titles it this way. He says, God's final message to the Jews through the prophet Malachi. So let's go look at God's final message to the Jews. Now, why would he call it that?
This Bible doesn't have Malachi 3:22.
Well, I'll get you there once I get to Malachi. You're going to be in Malachi 4, verse 4, in a Christian published Bible. Malachi 4, 4. Why does he call it God's final message to the Jews?
Because